This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick. We'll have an update from Tyler Donaldson as well. Snow is covering a wide swath of South Dakota this morning and extending into southwestern North Dakota. The National Weather Service office in Sioux Falls says a fast-moving system will bring 2 to 4 inches of new snow along and north of I-90. Isolated areas will see up to 5 inches. A fast-moving Alberta Clipper will bring more snow to the northern plains tomorrow and Thursday. Strong winds will result in visibility issues on the road. Negotiators worked behind the scenes overnight, but there is still no agreement in Congress for a continuing resolution to keep the government operating past Friday. The text of the year-end bill was supposed to be released over the weekend, but it still has not been posted. The disagreement over economic assistance for agriculture, one of the remaining hurdles. This is expected to be the last work week of the year for Congress. The fate of the continuing resolution to fund the government passed Friday, still up in the air. Negotiations breaking down over the weekend over an economic assistance plan for farmers and ranchers. American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duval. It's a part of an 11th-hour effort to preserve that funding.
It is not acceptable for Congress to tie up their business at the end of the year and not recognize the need for not just disaster assistance, but economic assistance.
Minnesota Congresswoman Angie Craig got the nod from the House Democratic Steering and Policy Committee and is in line to be the ranking member on the House Ag Committee. Craig defeated Georgia Congressman David Scott and California Congressman Jim Costa in yesterday's vote. The full Democratic caucus will be voting today on committee leadership, and they generally follow the recommendation of the steering committee. Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar is the ranking member in the upper chamber. Craig's nomination may be complicated somewhat by the decision if members are reluctant to have two of the four corners in farm policy coming from Minnesota. President-elect Donald Trump is touting his agriculture secretary nominee on Truth Social. Trump said Brooke Rollins is committed to farmers, food self-sufficiency, and on the restoration of agriculture-dependent small towns. The comments were shared with Senate Ag Committee Chair John Bozeman, House Ag Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson, and former Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue. Numerous farm groups also offering positive comments about Rollins. As nitrogen prices inch higher, Stone X Director of Fertilizer, Josh Linville, encourages you to keep an eye on the phosphate price.
Globally, prices are still elevated. Again, we focus on China. Their exports have been significantly below their historical patterns. That leaves a huge gaping hole on the supply side. Our fall season, again, an orthodox season, but it was successful. We moved a lot of inventories out there. Winter is very short when you think about the difference between middle of December and middle of March. It's not a lot of time to refill the system. So they came out even priced, and even that price versus the world was quote-unquote cheap, and it looks like that thing is starting to move higher. We're starting to hear rumors that, hey, they're going to be coming out with a new price sheet. They're going to be moving that price up, and we don't believe the thing is going to be going up triple digits or anything extreme like that, but it should lend support at least through the through the spring season.
The potash market has been quiet.
Fortunately, those values have been very, very good. Since coming off their highs of late 21, 22, those values careened lower, got to very attractive levels versus the gray market, and stayed there. From our point of view, that should be more normal. That isn't to say we couldn't see some jumps here and there in price ideas, but overall, it's a very well-supplied market around the world. In fact, we've seen demand bigger this calendar year, of the major purchase points, and yet prices have not appreciated. So if those buying patterns were to go lower to what we would consider normal, it just makes it that much more oversupplied. So we don't see a lot of excitement happening in the potash market.
Ag Resource Company President Dan Bossi expects the soybean market to remain the weak link in the grain complex.
You know, South American crop estimates continue to rise, and that along with China's buying shifting from the United States to Brazil has been the reason for the depressed prices in Chicago. On the other side, you know, the grain markets are finding some support. Russian prices are higher in wheat. European prices rallied, and the corn market found some fun buying.
Bossy expects the grains to hold their price better than soybeans. AgMarket.net market analyst Matt Bennett says South American production will keep a pressure on this soybean market.
Brazil and Argentina, I mean, both of them look like they're going to have a really good crop. And so the problem is that with Argentina, of course, it's awfully early yet. You know, but at the same time, I mean, you know, you're looking at, maybe 2 to 3 weeks away from knowing maybe a little bit more about what you need to know whenever it comes to, Brazil's crop.
Brazil's crop is starting out in very good condition.
It's rated good right now, really, 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 really good. And so I guess I'm concerned if we end up with a 170 type yield, all of a sudden, or not yield, but overall crop size, I tell you what, you could be looking at world stocks that just jumped dramatically from last year. That two-year window the USDA gives us, we're going to see stocks, if USDA is correct, jump around 30%. That's just a lot of beans.
Cattle markets look to end the year strong. NDSU Extension livestock economist Tim Petrie says holiday demand has been a pleasant surprise.
Fortunately for us now in the cattle business, all things are good. Our supplies are low, and demand has continued to be very, very strong. Our cutout values are up again last week, and this really strong demand for ribs for holidays at high prices that we didn't know would materialize. Thankfully, the consumers are going gangbusters, and so that has sparked fed cattle prices, and then feeder cattle are being highly supported by low supplies, higher fed cattle prices, and then, you know, corn is went up a little bit here, but it's still at relatively low levels.
Petrie doesn't see a herd rebuild taking place anytime soon.
January 31st, the USDA cattle inventory report comes out. Unfortunately, they couldn't do their July report, so it's a year, and so we're just kind of waiting. And there is likely going to be very little sign of herd rebuilding, maybe with some, I think we're going to keep more replacement heifers from this fall's calf crop in the U.S. The Southern Plains has gotten really good rains now, a few more, but, you know, we're a long way off from any real measurable herd rebuilding as of now.
Petrie was part of the Dakota Ag Day program at Carrington yesterday. Herbicide resistance continues to be a hot topic, especially with the loss of dicamba from the toolbox. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
Speaking with NDSU Extension cropping system specialist Jeff Stockler, what's the latest in weed management, especially in dry beans and soybeans?
The weed issues that we have are mostly due to resistance to herbicides, and so green foxtail and wild oat are resistant to group 1 and group 2 herbicides, or either or both. It depends on the population. And then the broadleaf weeds that we're concerned with is water hemp, kochia, and common ragweed, because we know that we've got herbicide, that those plants are resistant to key herbicides for dry bean growers.
And so when it comes to weeds that are resistant to such herbicides, then is what other control methods are there really?
I'm recommending that we lengthen our rotation away from dry beans more often, so that we can manage the weeds in the other crops in the rotation where we have more effective herbicides. And, you know, the big thing is for soybean growers now, it doesn't look like we're going to have dicamba pre or post emergence for soybeans. So the utility of the Enlist system and really putting Liberty or glufosinate plus Enlist 1 in the first post application instead of the last one is critical.
What does the loss of dicamba do for this issue?
It's going to be paramount that we utilize glufosinate or Liberty properly. So we need to make sure we're looking at application parameters and following everything that we can. I've got one of the grants that I've proposed to the Soybean Council is looking at travel speed and droplet size to see once how that plays an impact in the activity of Liberty.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Virginia farmer David Hula is once again the big winner in the National Corn Yield Contest. Hula yielded nearly 491 bushels per acre with a Pioneer hybrid. The top yield in Minnesota was 340 bushels per acre in a conventional non-irrigated division. Dale Fabian of St. Charles, the winner with his Pioneer Hybrid. Steve Huber of Berlin, North Dakota, had the top corn yield in the state, 325 bushels per acre on a DeKalb Hybrid. And a yield of 317 bushels per acre was the top one for South Dakota, Cody Standy of Platte, with a DeKalb Hybrid. Good morning and welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The spring season started very wet, delaying much of the first crop alfalfa harvest this past year. Cropland National alfalfa agronomist Randy Welch said farmers were forced to mud in the crop and forage quality was poor, especially for first crop.
But as the season went on, it stopped raining and we took off some really good high quality, high yielding second, third crop and fourth crop alfalfa. Turned out to be a fantastic year for producers.
Crop diseases evolve over time.
One of the diseases we're focusing on is aphantomyces root rot. And that big word really means that the alfalfa roots, when they have this little disease problem, those roots are nibbled off or the root hairs are nibbled off. You have less rhizobium activity, you have less nitrogen uptake, and so that disease resistance is really important. The other disease we're working on, in addition to aphantomyces, is anthracnose. And anthracnose is a disease that you'll see in other crops as well. But that disease basically shortens the life of the alfalfa, reduces yield. And so
Welch advises farmers to use alfalfa varieties that offer resistance to both anthracnose and aphantomyces. Fungicides are part of the planning process as farmers go into a growing season. BASF Technical Marketing Manager Kim Tudor sees value in being proactive.
So when we think back on 2024, you know, across the Midwest, out into the Dakotas, corn growers were battling two primary diseases, tar spot and southern rust. Tar spot's been top of mind for a lot of corn growers the last couple years, and I think it's no longer if you're going to get it, it's when you're going to get it. And with tar spot in particular, because it has that really long latent period, so that time that it's inside the plant before you can actually visually detect a lesion, it's upwards of 2 to 3 weeks. So you can't wait and take that wait and see approach. You got to be proactive instead of reactive.
White mold and Cercospora leaf spot were issues in soybeans. For wheat, it was Fusarium head blight pressure. Weather is the big variable.
But in some areas, like you said, it had a wet May, kind of wet June. Some areas dried off in July and August, right? And started to experience some heat stress or maybe even some drought stress. And with a BASF fungicide like Veltima and like Revitec, not only do you get that consistent disease control against those really troublesome yield-robbing diseases, but you also get environmental stress mitigation. You're going to have healthier plants that are going to continue to photosynthesize. We're going to help keep stomates open to facilitate cooler canopy temperatures. We facilitate root growth. So we're setting that plant up for success to be able to combat whatever stress comes its way.
Checking markets, Minneapolis wheat 1.5 higher for the March contract, 601.5. Chicago wheat for March, 1.75 better. KC wheat for March, 1.75 better. Corn market virtually unchanged. We're just a quarter penny higher for the March contract at 445.25. The soybeans, January, 981.25, down 0.75 cents. You got new crop soybeans down by 3 cents. Checking the farm calendar, Lake Region Extension Roundup, always a standard in Devil's Lake in early January. The dates this year, January 8th and 9th. Get it on your calendar. Have yourself a great Tuesday. This is the Red River Farm Network.